Pewter Report readers and listeners to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook along with Trevor Sikahema. Sikahema? Well, how does it? You would think after 2 years I would know his name. Sikahema. And that is Mr. Scott Reynolds.
Reynolds. Yes.
I'll get it. Yeah. And our special guest for the podcast, our good friend from Polk County, Mr. Adarius
Taylor
is right. I'm sitting too close to him right now. He could literally reach over here and punch me right now.
Yeah, his arms are way bigger than yours, dude.
like he did for Adrian real. Peterson, man. That was a nice stop. You go, what's it like tackle? Let's jump right into this. This is a guy who sacked Tom Brady on Thursday Night Football last year.
And forced a fumble.
Yep. All right. Then he tackles another Hall of Famer the other day. Adrian Peterson, that's a first ballot Hall of Famer. What's it like going up a guy like that? I know he's old, but he's still got some juice in those wheels, right?
Yeah, he does. I think that, you know, he's still one of the better backs in the league, and he's physical. And, you know, growing up watching him play and, you know, seeing things that he does and then, you know, playing against him is surreal, but it was awesome.
Yeah, and his arms and legs haven't gotten any smaller, have they?
No.
In his old age.
I think he's the same size.
Right.
Now, the burning question all Bucks fans want to know, Darius, and you're going to give us the lowdown, and this is going to be the biggest scoop-filled podcast ever. What in the hell is going on in that building right now?
What is going on?
We want to know. What's going on? Why isn't Jameis starting? Tell us right now. What did Dirk tell you? Blink twice if you know. Ah, he blinked.
Yeah.
Blink once if you want Fitzpatrick, twice if you want Winston.
What if I don't blink? What if I don't?
Oh, you'll eventually
blinking.
Blink.
He's not blinking. Yeah.
He's not blinking. You know what, though? In all seriousness, we're not going to beat you up about that kind of stuff. We have talked to players since Winston was benched. And the message that we've got from most people in that locker room, Adarius, is they don't really care who the quarterback is. They just want to win football games. Is that kind of your thought? I mean, you're on the defensive side of the ball, but does it matter to you on that side of the ball? Do you care? Do you guys care? Or what's your thoughts on just in general?
Well, me personally, if it's Jameis or Fitz, it doesn't matter. You know, I have confidence in both of those guys, and they're very good players. And but I feel like, you know, we feel like we can win with either one of those guys.
Right. And I guess Dirk is going to go with the hot hand. I mean, obviously – Fitzpatrick had those two great games to start the season. Really three if you take away those interceptions he had against Pittsburgh. Started the season off with three straight 400-yard games. He's setting some franchise records, if not NFL records. So I guess Dirk is wanting to kind of go with the hot hand a little bit. On your side of the ball, though, you guys got a little bit of a hot hand this week against the Redskins. Under 300 yards. First time all season you held an opponent under 300 yards.
It's 16 points.
Talk about what was it about that game. What's changed? And do you think the defense has maybe turned a bit of a corner?
Yeah, you know, we're just practicing every day to try to do the little things right. And this game we felt like we took a huge step forward. And, you know, we did a bunch of those things right. And, you know, we had a good feel of what they were going to do and a very good game plan. And we were able to go out there and, you know, execute most of the things that we practice.
Mm-hmm. And not to get not to make anybody mad here, but you guys had to be somewhat embarrassed after that Carolina game. You go back and look at some of those plays on film, and you got these guys running double reverses and guys running into each other. You know, how much of it was a pride thing for you guys last week to show you're a better defense than what you guys put on tape against Carolina?
Yeah, that was definitely embarrassing. You know, no matter if you're – what stage of football you're in, if you're in little league, high school, whatever, if a team's able to do that kind of stuff, it's embarrassing. You take that, you know, to heart as a defensive player. So, you know, we definitely had something to prove, and we knew that we weren't that type of defense, so we had to come out and, you know, and show, you know, what we could do.
You know, it was before the bye week, but I called for Mike Smith to be fired, and I called for Mark Duffner to replace him because I've seen Duffner operate the last couple years. I know how much you guys in the linebacker room respect him. I know what caliber of coach that he is. Just from last year, he was PewterReport.com's assistant coach of the year last year when Quan and Levante were out. And he had to get you and Kendall Beckwith in there playing those games in the stretch against the Patriots, you know, and a couple of other teams. Mm-hmm. Just shows what type of coach he is. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about Mark Duffner that we don't know? That has made the entire defense really kind of rally around this guy so far?
He's just a coach that he really cares about you. So it's not just about the X's and O's and things like that. He really wants to care, you know, see how your family's doing, see how you're doing personally. You know, he'll call you outside of football and just check up on you. And, you know, he truly cares for you. And then, you know, guys respect that. And, when you have, a bond with a coach like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been given the defensive coordinator job. So, you want to work that much harder just for him.
Makes it more personal.
Yeah. So, guys. But
he's also a guy that's not afraid to get on your ass when he needs to, is he?
No, he definitely isn't. You know, he'll keep it straightforward with you. And like, again, guys can respect that as well.
You know what I like about him that I really haven't seen done in Tampa Bay or really almost at any place in the NFL is when he gets the defense together on the sidelines, he gets the defense together. He gets the DBs, the linebackers, the defensive line all together for one singular message, and he's done that a couple times. And he did that after Kwan's injury, and he did that also in last Sunday's game. Mm-hmm. And I think that says something about the unity that he's trying to foster between you guys, mm-hmm. as opposed to talking to the linebackers, then going down the bench and talking to the DBs and talking to the defensive line. He gets all you guys together. What does that do? And that's kind of rare at this level, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But, you know, football is all about, you know, everybody being, you know, one, being a team. It's a team sport. And we feel like we're family. So, you know, we try to create that, you know, that bond with each other. And, you know, not being afraid to call someone out or, you know, tell someone they're doing something wrong or pick someone up when they need it.
Yeah.
And, that's what that's all about, just coming together and, you know, getting everything straight in front of everyone so everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah. You've had to grow up really fast going from a special teams demon that you've been early in your career, and now you're the special teams captain, getting rewarded for your special teams prowess. Mm-hmm. But last year, it was you and Kendall Beckwith for, you know, a couple games when Levante and Kwan are out. Now Levante injures his knee. We're hearing it's a sprained MCL. You know, I'd say right now, at best, he's questionable for this Sunday in the Giants game. And you're the elder statesman of the linebacking core. Just talk a little bit about how quickly you've had to get with the program, get up to speed, and step in. And really, in those instances, and I know you've leaned on Levante, mm-hmm. when he's in there with his experience, but in instances like last year when it was you and Kendall, and certain times like last Sunday when Levante was riding the bike on the sidelines trying to work that knee out, you've had to step up and be the guy.
Yeah, I feel like I've got a lot of experience under my belt, and I practice, to start, throughout my career. So to me, being able to start, it's nothing new to me, and like I practice for moments like this, and I feel like I'm ready. But I just carry myself a certain way, and so I'm ready for these situations.
Yeah. When you look at these last two starts that you've had, And we can talk about the accolades and tackling Adrian Peterson. What are some things that you see on film that you're like, damn, I should have done this, or I need to get better at this? What are some of the things that you want to work on moving forward this season when you have the opportunity to play on the field?
Just trying to disguise, because, these quarterbacks, they're all good, and they're, most of them are great. So, just trying to disguise things so they don't see it. So you can, you can trick him, because most of the time, if you can trick a guy on, third down and something like that, it'll help you, win the game.
You know, turnovers are something that you guys are, what, minus 19 this season? Is it minus 19?
It's minus 19, and you've gone six straight games without a takeaway. As much as it drives the fans crazy, as much as it drives a guy like myself who, when I coached Little League football, I was a defensive coordinator, defensive line coach. I'm a defensive guy at heart. It's driving me crazy in the media. Mm-hmm. But I'm not on the defense. I know it drives you guys crazy. Like, you got to be losing your mind with not getting these takeaways, right?
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. But it's something that it'll come, and you just got to keep working at it. You can't, just give up on it, but you just got to keep working at it, and eventually it'll come. But
and usually when it comes in bunches.
Yeah, it comes in bunches. So you just got to get that first one in and go from there.
Yeah.
What can you do? I mean, you say you work on it. You just do your job. But is there anything you can do in practice to practice taking the ball away? Or is it just a knack that some guys have? Like Lavonte David has had a knack for creating and recovering fumbles. Last year he was one of the best in the league, if not the best.
Five forced fumbles, five fumble recoveries.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, is it something you can actually physically work on in practice, or is it just something where everybody just needs to be in the right place at the right time, and then those things tend to happen?
No, it's both of those things. You know, it's definitely something you can work on in practice. It's just, you know, in practice, defense, when you see the ball, go get it, you know? And, you know, try to take it away from the running backs, the receivers, and then some guys just have the knack for it. They just, you know, they know the right time to, you know, to take a hit at the ball or to, you know, jump a certain route and get an interception. They just have a knack for it.
And they had a knack for it. I mean, perfect example, Jacquez Rogers last week, going in towards the red zone, gets the ball punched out from behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
He's a big, strong guy, but that was just a great play by the linebacker. Is that one of those guys? I mean, is that what you're talking about when you talk about that knack for finding the ball like that?
That's when, you know, well, that's just having a knack for it. But, you know, everybody knows that, you know, you're more likely to get a fumble, to strip a guy when he doesn't see you. So
Right. Whenever,
you know, Jacquez was running and he didn't see the guy behind him, and the guy, you know, he just hit the ball and got a good shot on it.
You know, you look at this linebacking core, and Kendall Beckwith is a guy that literally just started practicing for the first time 2 weeks ago. What's it like to see him back in the field after all he's been through and missing the OTAs and training camp and the preseason with that broken ankle that he's been recovering from? And this guy's just got to be chomping at the bit to get back.
Yeah, it's exciting to see him back, you know, on the field. You know, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But we're happy to have him back.
And he's really trimmed down, too.
Yeah, he has.
He was like 245 last year. He's like 233 this year.
Yeah, he looks good. Can't wait to see him in game shape.
We had one of the waiters earlier. He had to leave before he could ask you this question. But he wanted us to ask you about the impact that Lavonte David, losing him, has had on this defense. While it gives you an opportunity to start, I'm sorry, yeah, Quan Alexander, yeah. My apologies. You know, Quan going down the way that he did, how much of a spark plug and a fiery guy, how much was he the heart of this defense? And how do you replace that, or can you?
Yeah, he was definitely the heart of our defense. And I don't feel like you can replace Quan individually. You know, guys can step up and try to take bigger roles, but he was just that energy guy. You know, he always brought the energy, you know, every day. And, you know, guys fed off of that. And, you know, I don't feel like we can replace that. But, you know, all we can do is go out and play for him. And, you know, it just – can't wait till he gets back, because you know that's just something so hard to replace.
Is he staying in contact with you guys?
Yeah, he actually I'm gonna call him here a little bit later. He had a surgery today, so
he just had surgery. Yeah,
good. Well, that's good. He's gonna be on the mend. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at guys and you see ACLs and you think, you know, that's 8 to 12 months. But if there's a guy that can come back in that 8 month time frame, or maybe a little sooner, it's probably a guy like Juan Alexander,
definitely,
right?
Him.
Well, also too, when you look at Kendall Beckwith's ACL tear, and they're all a little bit different, but he had his at LSU in November, and then was ready to actually go by training camp as rookie season. So
he was at that eight, nine.
He was
month
right
mark,
about
yeah.
there. So you know, if you're going to tear your ACL, do it in October as opposed to December, because at least you have a chance to get in there and play. Now, I've heard you talk a lot about running backs. You got a running back this week in Saquon Barkley up there in New York, that top five draft pick, sensational player. He's a guy that can hurt you very much like guys you've seen. Alvin Kamara, running the ball, catching the ball, creating in space. What have you seen from him, if anything, in terms of his film?
Well, you know, he's elusive, and like you said, he can do it all. He can catch the ball. He can run it. You know, he's got the moves. He's got the power. He's just a great all-around back. You know, he came in the league, you know, top five pick, but he's already one of the, you know, top five running backs.
Yeah.
So.
You know, the fans have beaten up Vita Vea a little bit, right? I was a Derwin James guy, thought he could help have more of an impact on
really?
This team in the secondary.
I didn't know that.
It has nothing to do with Florida
shocker.
State, Scott. Stop it.
Wow.
He thinks it's all about Florida State.
Wow.
That's just not true. Although y'all
breaking news.
But although
Mark
I do,
Cook,
in hindsight, y'all should have stuck with Roberto Aguayo a little bit longer. You never know. But tell the fans out there who beat Vita Vea up a little bit, from what you've seen from this guy, what are some of the strengths, and how good can this guy be? And how important is that run-stuffing, big 340-pound kind of guy how can he impact linebackers, and how much better is he going to make this defense down the road?
Vita is just a huge specimen, and he's strong and he's powerful, and he's one of those guys that can take on double teams, which is something you have to be able to do on this level. And when you can take on double teams, you help a guy like me become free and go make a play, a tackle for a loss or get a sack, something like that. And you know, he's gonna be a great player, and he's getting better every day. And the tools that he has is you can't coach it.
Right.
You can't coach those things. So he's just, whenever, you know, he becomes an experienced player, he's probably going to be unstoppable.
You know, here's the thing about Vita Vea, too, that I don't think a lot of the fans listening right now understand. He was a running back in California in high school. He played 3 years at Washington as a defensive tackle. This is year four of him playing defensive tackle. And year four is in the NFL at the NFL level. And he missed all the training camp in the preseason. So, like, yeah, I'm going to cut the guy some slack. I'm going to give the guy some time to develop. I remember Warren Sapp having 3 sacks as a rookie defensive tackle. I remember Gerald McCoy having 3 sacks as a rookie defensive tackle. I'm not saying Vita Vea is the next Warren Sapp or Gerald McCoy. But what I am saying is it takes some time, typically, especially for defensive tackles, to become acclimated to life, getting double teamed by 600 pounds of beef up front in the NFL. But this is a guy that's only played the position for 4 years. And I'm really curious to see what he's going to look like 2 years from now, 3 years from now, because he's still a young guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he is young. And like I said, he's going to be hard to stop in a couple years. Like, but, you know, maybe next year. But like I said, he's getting better every day.
He got his first sack on Sunday.
Yeah, he's getting better every
day. We don't have time to wait 2 years, Adarius. By gosh.
Hey, well.
Stick him in the microwave.
Yeah.
We want him now.
We want him now.
Yeah.
We want him
on
yesterday.
On demand.
Well, you might get him Sunday.
Yep. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Adarius Taylor.
Yeah.
Adarius G. Taylor.
Hold on one second. You're still called AG, though, by the players.
Yeah. Well, my middle name is G.
Okay, so. All right, well, there we go. Yeah, all right.
Is G like G-E-E? Or
no,
is it
just G.
It's just G. Literally the initial G.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you just not wanting
so
to tell
still
us what
makes
it really
sense.
Is?
It's just G.
It's really Gertrude, isn't it?
No.
It's Adarius Gertrude Taylor. No. But you just are going to say G, right?
Yeah, it's just G.
It's just G.
Yeah.
Hey, right. Listen, I want to thank you for not only coming out to the podcast tonight, but for putting up with this guy on What's Cooking on Friday.
We're BFFs.
You were dressed.
We are fishing.
You were dressed
as long
like
as
some
you don't
fishing
dress like
clown.
That,
what are you
good.
Talking about? I have to wear my proper safety gear. You know why, Adarius? Because if I don't, I don't want to get a ticket. and you'll get a ticket because it's your boat we're going to be on.
Yeah, but look, your safety equipment wasn't even safe. So
that's right.
I probably would have hung myself. If I would have fell out of the boat, somehow that life jacket would have choked me to death before I had a chance to drown.
Yeah. Listen, if you do take him out fishing in the off season, I'm just letting you know right now that he is a former felon.
Oh. No.
You're a
former
felon. It was
a misdemeanor.
Oh.
It was a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
So it was a felony, and they got dropped
down
to
a misdemeanor. I had a good lawyer. I had a good lawyer.
Okay.
And do you happen to know what Mark Cook got arrested for back in the day?
Trespassing?
No.
Well, that was a charge, too, but go
fishing
ahead.
Fishing without a license.
Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's the ultimate fishing crime.
I spent fishing some time without a license. Orient Road Jail. Here's your PSA, folks. If you fish without a license and you get caught, don't not pay that ticket because they will mail a warrant to your house. I'll never forget going to the mail one day. Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, they must be soliciting money. Open it up. This is a true story. We have issued a warrant for your arrest. If you do not surrender yourself, we will send an officer to your home to apprehend you. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Next morning, I called the Sheriff's Department. They said, yep. You can surrender yourself for, and I said, are you telling me you're going to send a cop to my house? And they said, well, we'll be honest with you. We're not going to send a cop to your house. However, if there's a cop in your neighborhood serving warrants, he will stop at your house and take you.
Yeah.
If you
get pulled over for a speeding ticket, you're getting
cuffed. That's what they told me. So yeah. I had to go that following Saturday morning because I was working at the time. Not that I don't work now. Mm-hmm. Well, that's debatable, too. But I had a 9-to-5 job. We'll just put it to you that way. And, actually, here's what it was. I was trespassing on state property in a boat that wasn't mine, that was unregistered, without a sound-making device, did not have a fishing license, It was after the state property park area was closed, because that was the trespassing park.
Oh, my God.
And
how are you not in the slammer?
And what else was? Oh, I didn't have a life vest on.
Oh, man.
So he literally, I think he wrote up 13 different things, but only gave me a ticket for fishing without a license. Well, look.
Did you bribe the cop?
I thought fishing without a license is like a parking ticket. That's not a real ticket. Well, again, the warrant came to my house. And I went and surrendered myself at Orient Road Jail. And literally, I walk in and I said, please, Lord, don't let anybody be here that I know. I walk in, the processing officer, hey, Mark, Sandy Capitano, used to coach Little League, her and her husband with my dad. What are you here for? Who are you here to see? I go, you, apparently. Showed her my warrant. She goes, I hate to do this, but she called them down. And they literally came, put me in cuffs, took me to the holding area, fingerprinted me, put me out with the Friday night DUI drunks, yep, just laying all over the place, puke everywhere.
Took your mugshot, put it
literally
up online.
It's still online. Yeah,
Google,
there's still a
Mark
mugshot
Cook
out there.
Mugshot.
Made me surrender. They told me don't bring anything, so I didn't bring a wallet or anything. I just had my ID.
Yes.
I swear.
It's real, Trevor.
Honest truth. They made me stand in line with my baggie with my name on it, like in the Blues Brothers. Then they put me in the processing cell where they processed it, and I bailed. I paid my bond, which was $68, the price of the fine. And then I had to go stand back in line to get my empty bag with my name on it. I was like, well, I don't have anything. And the guy said, GD it, you stand in the GD line like everybody else. Yes, sir, I will, sir. I also asked him if I could buy a copy of my mugshot, and he says, what do you think this is, blanking Disney World? You think this is a party, son? And he goes, what's your charge? I said, fish without a license. And he goes, yeah, for $5, call downtown and get a copy. But anyway, so then I had to go to court. And I went to court, and the judge called me up, and I was the last one. This was bad. It was misdemeanor court. So I was behind all the guys that were, like, exposing themselves in parks and, you know. And I was like, God. And like, for whatever reason, I was, like, the second to the last person called up. And the judge was already in a bad mood, and I was like, oh, boy, I'm going back to jail. And he goes, Mr. Cook, what's your charge? And the lady, the court reporter, read it or whoever. And he looked at me over his glasses, and he said, do what? And I said, yes, sir. He goes, do you have a fishing license, Mr. Cook? I said, yes, sir. He says, do you want to show it to me? And I handed it to the bailiff, like on People's Court. Rusty, the bailiff, came and got it and took it up there. He said, you ever going to fish without a license again? I said, no, sir, I'm never going to fish without a license again. And he says, court costs $68. Get out of my courtroom.
So you had a fishing license? You just didn't have it on you?
No, I didn't have one.
Oh, so you got it afterwards.
Ask me if I have one right now.
Do you have one right now?
No comment.
You can't come fishing. You can definitely get come fishing.
I have one when I go fishing with you.
And you better have one, too. That's
oh,
the moral
I got a lot
story
of time.
Because I don't want to go back to jail. I don't. I feel like I'm a hardened criminal now. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
I should, like, record a rap album or something.
Yeah, yeah. You're hardened
3 hours I spent in Orient Road.
Yeah.
Man, I'm like 50 Cent or whoever. Got shot 8 times while I was in jail. That's not true. No one even talked to me. Yeah. Well, it's like fishing, though, Adarius. Jail stories, they go, the fish gets bigger every time. The jail story gets bigger every time.
Yeah.
I had to fight off. I got shivved. It was bad.
Yeah.
I didn't drop the soap.
Yeah.
I didn't say that out loud.
They didn't make me take a shower.
Trevor, you're going to have to cut that out of the podcast, probably.
No, oh, it's staying in.
I mean, I kept dropping it, and no one cared. I mean,
all right,
so
the coolest thing was during the What's Cooking. If you haven't seen it yet, Mark Cook, What's Cooking with Adarius Taylor, PewterReports.com. Go check it out. Man, you've caught some serious fish. We took some pictures from your social media, put them in there. Andrew Scavelli produced that and did a great job. You are quite the fisherman. How often do you go fishing?
As many times a week as I can. Right now, I don't get to go.
Right.
But during the off season, I probably go 5 times a week.
Strictly freshwater?
Yeah.
You don't do saltwater?
I'll go on a charter here and there with
friends.
You ever
caught a snook?
Yeah, I have.
That's like a bass on steroids.
Yeah, I'm just... See, we were just talking about rules, breaking rules.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, saltwater, there's a lot of rules and regulations.
That's true. Slots and all
yeah,
that. Yeah,
and I just don't like dealing with that stuff, so...
You know a good place you should go if you ever need any help with your boat?
Where?
We've got a great place. A sponsor of this podcast.
Yep.
T.A. Mahoney's is on 50th and Adamo. They've been in business since 1948. They do trailer work, light work, tire work. They've got all your marine needs.
All
when
your marine needs.
When you and I
needs.
Go fishing, you can go buy me a life jacket there so I don't have to wear that crappy one.
Yep.
They've got sunglasses, shades, clothes. They've got fishing apparel, everything you need, any marine need you need. In all seriousness, they'd love to have you as a customer, so go check them out. They're
T.A. Mahoney's.
Mahoney's.
Yeah,
so,
I have to do that.
Yeah, they're really good people. They're big Bucks fans and a big fan of you yourself. They've seen your pictures that I've posted online and stuff.
All right, speaking of big fans, I noticed that we're here at Ford's Garage tonight in Lakeland, and you've got a lot of fans out here. What's the reception been like for you here in your old stomping grounds? Just seeing all these fans out here coming out to support you and your charity tonight.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I got to see a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time, and it was awesome to see those faces and just to catch up with people and you know, to see how they're doing.
You actually got to make your own burger tonight, the Big 53.
Yeah.
Trevor, you had the Big 53 tonight. Tell me about it.
No, it was good. Yeah, I don't think you yourself made it, but I'm just going to think that you did, and I'm going to say that you made a hell of a burger. So, I don't know. I can't remember what was in it. It was like jalapenos and
cheddar jack,
bacon and
applewood.
I can't remember
bacon,
everything that was in it, but
lettuce,
it was
phenomenal. Caramelized onions.
Well, I try to do that every time we have this little event. Whatever the player, like the custom burger that they have, and our Darius is probably my favorite one. So that was a good one.
You That's what you one. Told Demar when you ate his bison burger.
Well, that is a little better.
Yeah, better than the bison burger. Keith Tandy had one with it was a shrimp po' boy on a hamburger. Yeah, that was a little weird. That's why they cut Keith, because he couldn't make a good burger. Just kidding. Just kidding,
is.
Keith. Love you, Keith. We do like Keith. Keith's a great guy.
Yeah.
You don't put shrimp on burgers, though. That's just
I go. Can't eat jalapenos. I'm having my after-dinner Tums right now.
Oh, I'm waiting for a Prilosec as soon as I get in the car. Anyway, all right, man. Well, Darius, anything else you want to say? Shout out to any of your friends over there, family you got over here.
Yeah, I mean, truth is, I didn't come up with the burger because I'm simple. So I would have just said, you know, cheese and mayo and mustard, and I would have been good. But if you guys want to meet the mastermind behind the burger?
Yeah, who do we need to get over here? Andrew, go get the mastermind.
Red shirt behind
red
you.
Red shirt.
Okay. All right, well, he's coming up. I got a football question for you.
Yeah.
So you guys are still running Mike Smith's playbook because you guys have learned that the entire – I mean, you know it for the last couple of years. But these are the plays that you guys have done in the off season and training camp and all that. How much has Mark Dufner been able to put his own spin on things? We see him calling more blitzes, which I'm sure you're happy with being a linebacker, right? See the big smile on your face.
Yeah.
But fans have to understand that this is not Mark Dufner's defense. You can't come in halfway in the season and just make wholesale changes and say, guys, forget what you learned. Here's the new playbook, right?
Yeah. Same playbook, you know, of course, Mark Dufner, he calls things differently than Mike Smith. And that's basically all it is. It's, you know, Mike Smith's defense with Mark Dufner calling it how, you know, he feels he should call it. And I think it's been great for us. And it's also simplified things. So,
Simplified things and more blitzes, which is good.
Yeah.
We like pressure.
Yeah.
Pressure is good.
All right. So you're going to try and sack another Hall of Famer in Eli Manning. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer, boys?
Yeah. Two Super Bowls. He's beaten Tom Brady twice.
Yeah. I'm just asking a question. Yeah, you ask Giants fans right now, they're not going to say that. They hate him in New York right now.
Yeah, we're going to try to get after him.
All right, so you got Brady, you got Peterson, you get Eli this week. So, you know, you do that. That's a pretty good trifecta of Hall of Famers that you're going to have a sack or a tackle on.
Yeah.
Here's your guy over here. Here's the mastermind of the burger.
The Big 53.
Yeah, so this is my father-in-law. He was behind the whole Big 53, so I'll let him tell you guys about it.
So we asked Darius for a burger, and he's like, "I'll just take a grilled cheese sandwich." So I said, no, it has to be like a design burger. So he said he cheated a little bit and he deferred it to you. How did you come up with this burger?
I went with what I like.
What you like?
Yeah.
All right, well, that makes sense.
Well, you wouldn't want to go with what he likes.
Well, that's true.
Because you'd have had a bun, a burger, and maybe some ketchup and mustard.
That's just what he said before you came over here. Said.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. So how was it?
It was delicious.
Have you been to Ford's before?
It was fantastic.
Yes.
You made a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Ford's is a sponsor of Pewter Report and of this Pewter Nation podcast. And, you know, they've got locations throughout. In fact, they just opened up the Orlando location yesterday, their grand opening. They've got locations in Brandon, Wesley Chapel, Countryside, West Chase. Dearborn, Michigan. So they're growing. St. Petersburg. They're expanding all over the place. So anyway, well, we appreciate you. We should have called it. What's his name? Dane. We should have called it the Big Dane Burger, not Big 53 Burger.
That'd been fine.
That's all right. But anyway, but Adarius, the great thing about tonight is 10% of the restaurant proceeds are going to go to your charity. Talk a little bit about your charity, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's the Kids Pack. I think it's a very important charity. It's basically a charity that feeds hungry kids after school. You know, if, you know, you don't want kids going, you know, home hungry and, you know, coming back to school the next day and they haven't eaten. So they, you know, they give kids a meal and something to eat, you know, after they go home from school.
Sorry about that. Kids Pack. Now, where can they find that online? Is it Kids Pack? I saw that Forge tweeted out a link to that. If people aren't here tonight and they want to donate to this cause, what's the best way to do that?
You can go online. I believe the website is kidspack.org. And, you know, you can just reach out. And they have, you know, things at certain schools where you can, you know, ask if the school, you know, is a part of the program.
Very good. Very good. Now, you got somebody else standing over here.
Yeah.
Who you got over here?
This is my mom.
You're responsible for this? Well, you should be very, very proud. Give her the microphone for a second. Had one of her former teachers over here. What was her name? Miss Helms?
Yes, Miss Helms.
Miss Helms, who I know was a help to you throughout your school career, and she just went on and on and on and on about him. What a great young man he is, and I agreed. You know, anytime that we need any type of charity thing, or we ask Adarius to come out to any of our functions, he's always been wonderful in doing that, so we appreciate him. So hats off to you for raising a fine young man here. And
thank
we're not
you.
Just saying it because he's sitting here. We'd say it if he wasn't. So thank you. Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so how many tackles do you want him to have on Sunday?
Eight.
And a sack.
Three.
And an interception.
Three.
Now, real quick, my son just finished up his high school career.
Playing linebacker.
I sat in the stands chewing on Xanax, nervous about him getting hurt. Do you still watch TV or go to these games and you're on edge? Because you saw last year in that Falcons game, you see him get injured. How tough is that as a parent for you?
It's really hard, you know, but I just pray and stuff, you know, and I know God is, you know, got him covered in shield.
Right.
But it's been very hard, but, you know, I have faith in God.
Right.
I
right.
just put him in God's hands.
So you're telling me stop the Xanax and start praying a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's probably some good advice.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that's some good advice there. Well, we appreciate you stopping by for just a second very much. And
thanks for
loaning out
Thank
your
you.
Son for us for
Absolutely.
A little bit
Thank
here.
You.
He's a good guy, well-respected guy in the locker room and especially amongst the media. So thanks.
Yep.
Now we're going to talk to Steve here. Steve is with Ford's Garage, a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Steve, first of all, we want to thank you for having us out tonight. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure having you guys here. It's really a fantastic thing to be a part of.
Now, what's your job here with Ford's? What's your duties here?
I'm one of the managers here that runs a restaurant in charge of the service staff specifically, but making sure that everything gets done right and executes on a top-notch level.
Now, if no one's been to Ford's before, and we talk about it every week on this podcast, but if no one's been here before, you're here every day, what do you tell people they got to get? What's the go-to thing they got to do? If they're going to come to Ford's one time, what is it that they got to order? Food and a drink.
Food-wise, my favorite is the Jiffy Burger, and I do that with the Kobe beef. I mean, if I'm going to go big, I'm going to go big.
Right.
Definitely got to make that up. If people think about that peanut butter and bacon on a burger, and I'm just like, heck yeah, that's how you do it.
Really?
Beer-wise, I mean, you got to do the beer if you're going to be doing peanut butter. It's the only thing that's going to get that out of your mouth. you know, I like the heavier, darker beers. Copper Tail has a great with their free dive right there. I love it. We change out our beers and our brands and flavors quite frequently to try to keep it fresh and going. We run a great happy hour over here. We get dollar-off drafts across board, and then we do specials up till 7 o'clock on mixed drinks. And we have a really fantastic selection of well-brand drinks with brand names that people really, really go after.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by, Steve. And thanks a lot for the hospitality out here at Ford's Garage. And we appreciate you guys sponsoring this podcast. Look forward to stopping back out here again in the near future. So,
Absolutely. Thanks for letting us be a part of this.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you very much, Adarius, for coming out. Wish you a lot of luck on Sunday up there in New York. I know that you guys got to get back on the winning streak. You got to get some takeaways. And what better time and place to do it than this Sunday against Eli Manning and the Giants?
Yep, of course. We're excited about this week. Can't wait to get to practice tomorrow and get started.
Where are your long johns? See, Adarius is from the country like me. He knows what long johns are.
That's right. All right. It's so not thermal underwear. It's long johns. Long johns.
Yeah, long johns.
Yeah, where are your long johns? It's going to be chilly up there in New York. And don't let any of those shysters up there try and fool you country boy from down here in Polk County. They'll try and trick you.
Try to sell you a
Rolex. Why? They're like, do they still do that? They have guys on the street that like open up their jackets and try and sell stuff on
maybe
the street?
Maybe Times Square, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I've never been out of Hillsborough County till tonight. I don't leave very often. You know, Orient Road is in Hillsborough County.
Is that what your parole officer says, that you're not allowed to leave the county?
Once in a while, I'm able to clip this anklet bracelet off, and I'll sneak over to Polk County, you know what I mean? But, but I don't venture very far out of Hillsborough County very often. But, hey, we really appreciate you joining us today, man. Thanks for doing this and helping us raise some money for your charity Kids Pack. And good luck next week, guys. No pressure on you guys or anything. You've just got to win 7 in a row to make the playoffs. So I'm not putting any pressure on you guys.
Hey, one at a time.
One at a time. That's all you can do. All right, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Well, boys, that is another edition of the Peter Nation Podcast. Anything else we want to chat about? We good?
I think we're good.
We're going to have another regular edition on Thursday.
Yep.
Yep. Maybe.
We're doing another one?
Oh, Trevor just nixed it. Trevor's saying no.
Trevor's like, what up? We've already done
he's
two
the only
this
one,
week.
Darius, nah, he's the only one that knows how to run the equipment.
Listen,
so if he doesn't bring him, I guess we're not having
says
one.
Two podcasts
two
a
week. Two per
week.
All right. We'll have one when you get back from New York on Monday.
Yeah.
So anyway, where are your long johns, Trevor, by the way?
Yeah, I'm not prepared for 30 degrees. Yeah. I looked a week ago and I was like, huh, New York, wonder if it's cold. Yeah, high 30s. And I'm like, I have like one sweater. So
that's
yeah.
like a major cold front down here in Florida. That's like when we're taking our plants inside and
yeah.
lighting fires in the orange groves to keep the trees. See, Adarius knows these things.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, we appreciate it. For Trevor Sikkema, Adarius Taylor, I said it right the right time. From Ford's Garage, we appreciate Ford's Garage. Scott Reynolds, Andrew Scavelli, Skip Brown's over here too. We got a whole crowd here. We appreciate everybody. We'll see you later in the week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.